You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day finally comes and I find myself standing with the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
James.
Thank you, Brother Charles. Good to see you, buddy. Good to see you. Bless you. Yes.
Happened to be the daughter of a member in my dad and mom's church in Lubbock for many years. My mom and dad, you may recall, died last year, but Brother James and I go a ways back, and he's a very special man to me.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Charles. Well, I appreciate that. We go further back than probably we want to admit, but it's good to be here. And I appreciate that song. Wasn't that great? I think Charles, more than Charles, needed that song, and I needed that. Just remind me, you know, this world, but Brother Leland said a while ago, it's true about Odessa. It is a redneck, honky-tonk, whiskey-drinking, sinful place. But can you imagine one day we'll be rid of this place and be with the Lord? That's what we look forward to. Leland, thank you for the opportunity to come tonight to speak, and pray that I'll be a blessing and pray that I'll be an encouragement to you. Take your Bibles this evening and turn with me to Jeremiah chapter number 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. I want to bring a message tonight that I've been preaching to my church on Sunday morning, and that is called A Trip to the Potter's House. It's a 6-week sermon, so don't fret, I'm not going to give you all 6 weeks worth tonight. But I want to give you some thoughts out of this passage. We're doing a 6-week study trying to find the purpose of our life. You know, it's amazing how many Christians you meet, they don't know their purpose. They don't know why they exist. Can I tell you tonight that we are created for a purpose? We are created to give God the glory. God has a perfect will for each and every life. And that's what we've been going through on Sunday morning in our church, trying to find God's purpose and perfect will for our life. And what I want to challenge you tonight and to encourage you is to find your purpose. You know, you just didn't show up one day by accident. God created you and you're here, and the circumstances of your life have all been orchestrated. God knows all about it. He knows where you are. And here's a good thing. He knows what you need tonight. And so as we look at this passage this evening, I want to share with you some things about the potter's house. First thing I want you to see in verse 1 and 2, I want you to see that God came to Jeremiah and He gave him some direction. Now, it's important that you and I find direction in life. To me, God gives direction. In fact, if you read your Bible, and if you're a Bible reader, if you've been a Christian at all, you know this to be true, that God wants to give our life some guidance. He wants to give our life some direction. We find here in verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying..." Now, we automatically know who's speaking. It's the Lord. We know who He's speaking to. He's speaking to His prophet, Jeremiah. And He comes to Jeremiah on this day with this message of direction. Here's what He wants him to do. Verse 2. He said, "Jeremiah, I want you to rise, and I want you to go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my word." So I want you to see the very first thing that God does. He comes to Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah is not out of God's will. In fact, Jeremiah right now is in the perfect will of God for his life. He is in Israel. He's Israel's prophet. He's God's man. He's preaching the word. But at this particular point in his life, God came to him and said, "Jeremiah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stop what you're doing. I want you to rise, and I want you to get up, and I want you to go to the potter's house." So we see direction. Then follow with me in verse 3. The second thing I want you to see as way of introduction, notice Jeremiah's discipline. The Bible says in verse 3, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels." Can I tell you tonight, if we don't have enough discipline to follow through God's direction, then God's direction for our life is absolutely worthless. God can speak to us all that He wants, and He does, and He wants to. And God can guide our life, and God can give us some direction and give us some pointers. But unless we are disciplined enough to obey God, they're absolutely worthless in our life. So let's look at this here. Verse 1, the Bible says that God came to Jeremiah. Said, "Jeremiah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to rise, I want you to get up, and I want you to go to the potter's house." Then in verse 3, we find that Jeremiah had enough discipline and enough obedience to go and to follow the direction of God in his life. Now I want you to notice the third thing as a way of introduction tonight in verse number 4. Notice when he got down to the potter's house in verse 4, the very first part of it, the Bible says, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter." We see a damaged vessel. So here's the story. Jeremiah is out doing God's will one day, out doing what God wants him to do. God comes to him, says, "Jeremiah, I've got a direction I want you to go. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to get up, I want you to go to the potter's house, and I want you to go there because it's there I want you to hear my words." So Jeremiah gets up, he has enough discipline, he goes and he gets to the potter's house. But here's an interesting thing. When he walks into the potter's house, when he begins to see the potter working on that vessel, he notices right off, he notices that the vessel is marred. That word "mar" means ruined. It means to cast off. Now, I'm not sure what Jeremiah thought he was going to see that day. I'm not sure Jeremiah knew what God was going to do that day. But I bet you Jeremiah didn't expect to walk in to see this experienced potter sitting down at the wheel with a ruined vessel. But that's exactly what he saw. But the story doesn't end there. And I'm glad that it doesn't. Look with me in verse 4. It says here in verse 4, "So he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it." We've seen direction. We've seen discipline. We've seen damage. Now I want you to see the fourth thing. And this is what I want to talk to you tonight for just a few moments. That is the delight of the potter. What was the delight of this potter? Look at verse 4 again. Here it was. It seemed, and he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. What happened to that first vessel? Well, it was marred. The Bible says that the first vessel was marred. It was ruined. It was a cast off. It was no good. But here's the good news. He didn't throw it away. He didn't lay it in a junk pile. He didn't cast it off. He just took it and he reshaped it and he remade it. Now, that's a very good story because that's a picture of our life. When you and I became ruined in God's eyes, when you and I allowed sin to separate us from God and to mess up our life, aren't you glad that God just didn't set us aside? Aren't you glad that God just didn't throw us over here in this junk pile or cast us away? No, that's not what God did. God did exactly what this potter did. He took it again and he made it as it seemed good to the potter. I was listening to a well-known speaker one day. And he gave an illustration that I never will forget, and I want to share it with you tonight. He was speaking to us. There was probably about 200 people in that room, and he gave this illustration. He says, I have here in my hand the $20 bill. And he asked the question, who in this room would like to have it? Every hand in the building went up. Who wouldn't want to have a $20 bill? Now, granted, it doesn't buy what it used to, but it still buys, doesn't it? So every hand went up. He said, okay. Now, what if I took this $20 bill and I took it and I just crumbled it? How many of you still want the $20 bill? Every hand went up in the room. He said, okay. What if I took this $20 bill and I threw it in the floor and I stomped it and I smashed it and threw it around? How many of you still would want this $20 bill? Every hand in the room still went up. He said, interesting. We've learned something tonight, haven't we? He said, we've learned a lesson. He said, no matter how crumbled, how wrinkled, how dirty this $20 bill became, it never lost its value. Can I tell you tonight that no matter how dirty we become, how crumbled we become, how ungodly we become, we never lose our value in the eyes of God. We're just as precious. Now, we may be a marred vessel, like verse 4 says. We may be dirty. There are things in our life that may ought not to be there. But aren't you glad tonight that in the eyes of God, we're still precious in His sight? God was able to take this broken vessel and to make it new. If you're a Christian here tonight, here's what happened to you. When God saved you, He made something new of you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. God was able to take your life. He was able to take my life that was broken, that was beaten, that was dirty, that was crumbled, and He was able to make it new again. Here's what He did. He took something bad, and He made it good. He took something that was broken, and He made it whole. Why? Because that's the desire of the potter. I want to share with you tonight just a few simple thoughts about this potter. And this potter, I want you to think about tonight, this potter is a picture of our God. And then here's what I also want you to think. I want you to think that this vessel, that's a picture of you and I tonight. So we see that when Jeremiah walked into that potter's house, he noticed the potter was sitting there and he had a marred vessel in his hand. But then here's what Jeremiah heard and here's what he saw. He saw that same potter take that same vessel and he reshaped it and he remade it as it seemed good to the potter. Four things I want to share with you. First of all is this, the desire of the potter. It was his desire to make this vessel good. Like God, this potter was not content to leave this vessel marred. This potter, he was not happy that this vessel had become broken or it had become unshaped. And so his desire was to take this broken vessel, this vessel that was maybe not quite shaped just right, maybe had a hairline fracture, maybe was off just a little bit. Whatever it was, the Bible says that his desire was to take that vessel again and to make it good as it seemed good to him. It was his desire to make it. Listen, it bothered the potter that this vessel was not right. It bothered the potter that this vessel was marred, that there was something wrong. His desire was to make the vessel as good as he could make it. Can I tell you tonight, that's the same attitude God has with us. It bothers God when our vessel is marred. It bothers God tonight when our life is not right. His desire for us is this, that we would become a usable vessel. That our vessel that was marred and maybe cracked or maybe that was broken or maybe tonight that it's dirty. God's desire for my life and yours is that He would make it good to Him. Now, let me clarify this. The Bible says here in verse 4 that He made it another vessel as it seemed good to the potter. Now that's an important part. I want you to catch that because sometimes God's desire and sometimes God's good is not our desire or our good. And sometimes God has to put us through things to make us good. So understand that when the potter put the vessel back on the wheel, it was his intention to make it good as it seemed to him. And a lot of times in our life, what is good to us may not be good with God. And what may be our will may not be God's will, or what may be our desire may not be God's desire. And we have to understand something tonight, guys, is that He's the potter and we're the clay. And just as the potter had power over the vessel, whether we realize it or not tonight, or whether you want to admit it tonight or not, God has power over my life and yours. And it's God's will and it's God's desire, and if God can speak the world into existence, and He did, then certainly God has the power to shape my life and yours the way He wants it. Now here's the question. It's not how I want it, but how the potter wants it. It's his desire. So we see the desire of the potter, and that was to make that which was wrong, to make it right. But then the second, real quickly, notice the word duty. Look with me in verse 4. It says, And he made the vessel as it seemed good to the potter. Now, understand it was the desire of this potter to make this vessel good. God's desire is to make us good, to make us right, to make our vessel that was once broken, to make it whole. But can I also say tonight that the only way that vessel was going to be made right was by the power of the potter? That vessel couldn't do anything on its own. That vessel couldn't turn the wheel. That vessel couldn't mold that clay. That vessel could not take the crack out of it or the brokenness from it. The only person that could reshape that potter or that vessel and to make that vessel right was in the power of the potter. You see, it was the potter's duty to make it right. Now, this may sound strange to us, but part of God's duty toward us is to be God. You see, we can't fill God's role. We cannot do what God alone can do. I was reading a story recently about a little boy traveling on an airplane. He never had traveled. This was his first trip. So as he was sitting there in the plane, he was sitting by a Bible professor. And the Bible professor saw the little boy reading a Sunday school take-home paper. So the professor thought, well, I'll have some fun with this little guy. And so he leaned over to the little boy. He said, son, he said, I'll tell you something. If you can tell me something that God can do, I'll give you a big, shiny dollar. The little boy thought for a moment, said, mister, tell you what. If you can tell me something God can't do, I'll give you a whole barrel of shiny dollars. And I like that response. You see, sometimes we limit God. Well, God can't do anything with my life. God can't fix my life. Listen, whoa, stop for a minute. God created your life. God made you the way you were the first time. Now, where you are tonight may not necessarily be on God. That may be on you. Tonight you may be broken. Tonight you may have some things in your life that necessarily not ought to be there. Listen, that's not God's doing, but here's what God can do. He can take your life and make it new again. That's His problem. That's His power. That's the duty of the potter. And only God can do that. And tonight we need to understand that here's what man's good at. Here's what we're good at. We're really good about messing our life up. Aren't we? I mean, every one of us in this room, we have the power and we have the know-how and we're pretty good at it of messing our life up. The only difference between some of us tonight, we just haven't got caught. But we all mess up. We all do things and we all go through things that we ought not to do. Because why? Because we have a built-in thing called sin nature. You know, and I kind of compare this like our church. I said a dog by nature does what? Bark. That's what a dog does by nature. A cat meows by nature. Guess what we do by nature? We sin. Why? Because we're sinners. And because we're sinners, we have a way of messing up our life. But here's the good news. We have a God who loves us enough that He doesn't want us to stay that way. And He wants to make our life better. And He wants our life to go from brokenness to wholeness, from backsliding back into the fellowship with Him. But now, here's the thing. We have to come back to God in the right attitude. Just as that clay on that wheel was pliable, was workable. Can I tell you tonight, although God has the power to make your life anything He wants it to be, He won't do it until you first become compliable to let God do it. You got to get over your hardness. You got to get over your stubbornness. You got to get over your pride. And you've got to admit tonight, it's no shame to admit it. Here's the shame, is when we don't admit we have a problem. We've got to admit, you know what, I do have a problem. My life is messed up and my life isn't where it ought to be. But here's the good news. God knows that and He's waiting for you to see that where He can make your life better again. Can I tell you tonight, you can't put your life back together without Him. That vessel would have stood on that potter's wheel from now on and have been broken from now on. But that vessel became fixed because the power and the duty of that potter. And God wants to help you, but you're going to have to come to Him tonight in a contrite heart and a broken spirit and say, God, I've messed up. Lord, here I am. I'm not much. I may not have much. And I may have messed up much. But Lord, here I am. You're the potter and I'm the clay. And it's His duty. It's His power. It's His responsibility to put you back together again. Third thing, real quickly, is determination. The potter was determined to make this vessel good. And I'm glad tonight that we have a God who's determined to make man what he ought to be. I'm not going to spend long on this because I want to get to the last point. But you know what? God never gave up on man. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, I shared this last night with our folks and at the church. I said, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned. And I never thought about this till yesterday. God knew that morning when they woke up what they were going to do. It didn't catch God by surprise when He walked in that garden that day and said, Adam, where art thou? He knew exactly where Adam was. He knew exactly what Adam had done. But He went into that garden that day determined that Adam and Eve weren't going to stay that way. Now, their sin cost them paradise. But God was determined before that day was over that Adam and Eve was going to be right. And they were. And God has determined from the very foundations of the world. In fact, the Bible says that He knew from the foundation of the world that we were going to mess up. And He set a plan from the very beginning, before the world began. He set this plan in motion that when man messed up, here was a thing that God could come alongside of and clean man's mess up. And that thing and that person is called Jesus Christ. He can make our life what it ought to be. God was determined. He had desire. He didn't want us to stay broken. His duty and power was to take that broken life and to make it new. He was determined. And then I want to show you the last thing real quickly, and then we'll be through tonight. And that's the fourth word, and that's this: dedication. God and this potter were dedicated in making this vessel right. God was not willing to leave Adam and Eve as they were. He wanted them to be right. He was not willing to leave Moses as he was when he had sinned against God and killed that Egyptian out of anger, out of haste. God didn't leave Moses alone. Why? Because he was determined that he was going to make Moses what Moses needed to be. He was not willing to leave David as he was. Remember the story of David, almost 2 years going through agony and out of fellowship with God. But God never gave up. He was not willing to leave David like he was. He was not willing to leave Peter like he was after Peter had denied and cussed the Lord and ran out. He was not content. He was dedicated to make Peter what he ought to be. Can I tell you tonight, God is more dedicated to make you right than you are to make yourself right. He wants to make you right. When Jeremiah went into that potter's house, he saw an interesting thing. He saw a potter. And in the hand of that potter was a marred vessel. To Jeremiah's surprise, the potter didn't take it and set it aside and restart. No. He just took that same old vessel and he just reshaped it, remade it as it seemed good to him. And that's what God does tonight. He takes men and women like us in this room that have messed up, that lives that are broken, lives that maybe haven't found their purpose right now in this world. God has the power tonight to put you back on His will. His desire and His determination and His dedication will make you what you need to be tonight for the Lord. Now, here's the thing. God can do that. And God wants to do that. But here's the key. You have to let Him. You have to let Him. God's not going to force Himself on you. And God's not going to do anything in your life that you're not with, that you're going to fight. You've got to come to God tonight with a humble spirit and a broken heart and just say, God, here I am. I love that song, Just As I Am, without one plea. And you know what? That's how God wants you. That's how you are. And that's how God wants you. But tonight it starts with you. God can do it. And God wants to do it. But tonight the question is, will we let God do it tonight? Let's stand tonight with every head bowed and every eye closed. Musicians come for invitation tonight. I'm going to pray and I'm going to turn it over to Leland tonight. But you come as God leads you this evening. Father in heaven, we thank You for this night. We thank You for Your blessings. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity You've given me tonight to bring the Word. And Lord, I pray that it be an encouragement and it be an uplift. That Lord, that it also bring tonight in hearts and lives not only comfort, but it may bring conviction to those who in this room, they know tonight they need to make some changes for God. So Lord, tonight I pray right now in Jesus' name that You'll start that process, that You'll start that work, and let it begin tonight. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you're here tonight and you're the marred vessel. You know that. It doesn't take GED to know that. We know ourselves. And you've heard very simply, very clearly, that God wants to make your life what you'd be happy with and what He'd be happy with. 2,000 years ago, He sent His Son to Calvary to shed His blood that you and I might go to heaven. Tonight, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I want you to come. When Brother Charles starts singing in a moment, the very first verse, I want you to come and say, I take Christ as my Savior. There's some of you that have done that in the past. But the things of this world got too interesting for you and drew you away. And you've been miserable ever since. Why don't you get over it tonight and just come and say, Lord, here I am. Make me like you want me. On the very first verse, come and trust Christ. Let's do it, Brother Charles. Right now, come on. Yes, sir, come on. Come right on. Just as I am. Don't wait any longer. Wouldn't you like to walk out clean tonight? Wouldn't you like to walk out with the joy of the Lord in your heart? Aren't you sick and tired of being sick and tired? God can solve that. I can't. Brother James can't. But Christ can. As the musicians play, think with me. How many times have you said no to God? How many times do you think that He'll let you do that? He's the potter. You and I are the clay. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for those that have come tonight. We thank you for the message. And Father, help us to realize that you indeed are the potter. We talk about what we're going to do and what we've done and what we've got planned. And the truth of the matter is that just one stroke can change all of that. One car wreck can change all of that. One cancer can change all of that. Father, help us to get our eyes on you in these last days and help us not miss what you paid so much for us to have, and that's eternal life. Thank you for Brother James. Thank you for those that came, and Father, for those that didn't do what you want them to do, would you give them one more chance? Give them one more opportunity. In Christ's name we pray. God bless you. Thank you. The refreshment bar is back open. Glad you were here.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.